we had to end the incendiary last time, but never fear, we have returned. Dun dun dun.
Okay. Welcome to the CA Reading Society podcast. Silence can't be with us today because she is studying for an Espanol quiz.
Because ella no habla español muy bien, apparently.
I don't know how she can do that.
I am magical.
Yeah, you are. And we're going to introduce somebody new, Meg.
Hi, guys.
And no making fun of people because it's not nice.
Be quiet.
Alright,
so Meg has something she wants to talk to us about.
Yep, before we get into the last of the young readers for this year, I'd like to talk about, for our readers in Canandaigua, there is something at our local wood library called Book Sandwich Inn. It's where kids and all adults who want to come give a book review come and give a kind of speech at the wood library every Monday at noon, from February 3rd till March 24th, and this year I have the honor of being the last person to speak on March 24th at noon on the book The Flamethrowers by Rachel Kushner.
Sounds good.
So if you want to come see me, come to the wood library at noon on March 24th.
Sounds good. Are they dragons?
No. It's a contemporary nonfiction book.
It's not nonfiction,
it's fiction. But it's contemporary, so there's no fantasy dragons in it.
That's no fun. Do they at least have, like, flamethrowers in it, though?
No.
What? They call it the flamethrowers, but there's no flamethrowers in it. Where's the logic in that?
I am so sorry to disappoint you, pirate. All right, so we actually have more books to talk about.
What?
All right.
So first book, Corner of White. Who wants to guess what it's about?
A Corner of White?
Meg reads the inside cover and
I'm gonna guess marble, and I'm gonna
Falling things falling from the sky that look kind of like leaves.
Paper.
It's a romance story.
I'm gonna guess it looks like a romantic comedy.
The girl is holding a letter. It's a very important
smiling.
Letter, and it's glowing.
And her umbrella is going away.
And leaves, and also
I don't know
scarves
why she has an umbrella. They're very
weird color.
Okay, do you guys want to read the summary?
Yes. Go ahead.
Sure. All right. This hybrid novel is told in parallel narratives. Madeline, 14, lives in a tiny flat in Cambridge, England, with her eccentric mother. Elliot lives in the Kingdom of Cello, where things have gone awry since his father's recent disappearance. Dangerous colors are wreaking havoc in his world. The teens exchange letters through a tiny portal, and readers will be caught up in the ways their lives intertwine.
So
a smart and captivating read.
So it's about colors, then.
Ooh.
So two parallel worlds. In which one is colorless, it's black and white, and the others is our world, it's natural, it's colorful. So colors are starting to leak from one world to the other.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the author's name is Jacqueline Moriarty. Isn't Moriarty the bad guy from Sherlock?
Yes.
Sweet.
I wonder if she's a professor.
She probably is.
We're so best. All right. So, basically, alternate universes,
colorfulness, and colors are fabulous.
Intergalactic relations and all of that
colors.
Jazz. It sounds pretty interesting.
And colors.
Yeah, I might have to give that a try.
Colors are fabulous.
Right. What are you talking about? We've all read these already.
True.
Quiet, Megan.
Oh, look who can't talk now.
Shut up, Pirate.
All right. Our next book is called More Than This by Patrick Ness.
This one terrifies me.
There's
because,
a door
like, reading
and
just the little bit of the summary, a little bit of the ones that I read, that actually, like, scared me, and it's,
But I'm a little worried. I haven't read anything about this, but it looks interesting.
Because
it's got squares and stuff on the cover and a door, and it's yellow and weirdness.
Yes, yellow is terrifying.
Yellow is a terrible color. It's like an abomination of colors.
Shh. When he wakes up alone in his childhood home in England, the last thing Seth remembers is drowning off the Washington State coast. The teen must make sense of his seemingly abandoned world and comes to a term with a past betrayal and his guilt over a family tragedy.
Oh, that's creepy. That sounds. I would die. I'm
so
sure.
It's like it's sort of like he's dead, but he's in between.
Wait, so is he alone in this
world,
or are there other people that can't interact?
It says
with him
seemingly abandoned. So I think he's
probably
alone.
More. It's going to start out alone, but it's seemingly abandoned.
Seems completely empty.
More.
Okay, that's really creepy.
So maybe
that's
he's in
right
like a sort of limbo between life and death. That would explain why he wakes up.
Wasn't there another book about that? It's like the girl's 18 and she wakes up
hereafter.
I don't know.
Was it the girl with the cowboy boots?
Who can't
pick them up? Yeah,
oh,
that one.
That's
I remember
not,
that.
That's not here.
Oh my
at
gosh,
one.
We need to find
it
out
was
what
so
this
good.
Was called. It was really good.
It was
she
really
basically,
good.
She basically has to come with terror that she murdered someone as she slowly remembers
because she was
more of her
drunk
life.
Driving,
and then her somebody murders her, and she's got in a bad situation with a blackmailer. It's really good, actually.
The interesting thing I thought about that though was that it was about one of those, like, super popular, superficial girls. And it was from her point of view. So it was the whole world as she sees it, which you don't see a lot of that.
Which is actually really depressing.
Yeah.
And then
she's trying to come to terms with the fact that she's been a superficial jerk her whole life. And,
yeah.
Oh, wait, there's part of life being a superficial jerk.
And
holy crap.
Her, like, mother is dead and her father is, like, evil and then... But not really, because her sister thinks that her sister is her
stepsister.
Father. It's really bad. Okay. So now we're going to talk about a book that's about Pirate and I.
Yeah.
Except I haven't read it yet. I only read the first couple of pages.
So, Meg, since you're the only one who hasn't read this or read part of it yet, why don't you guess what it's about based on the cover?
I'm guessing it's about some cybernetic relationship that this girl is having with this guy.
Just to start out, the book is called Fangirl. I just realized we never said that.
By Rainbow Rowell, whose name is fabulous, and it rhymes.
Is it like Rickroll?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, so I read this one. Zio.
Do you want me to read the summary first before you start talking about it?
No.
You can read the summary.
Read the summary. Kath is a Simon Snow fan. Okay, the whole world is a Simon Snow fan. But for Kath, being a fan is her life. And she's really good at it.
Fangirl.
She and her twin sister, Ren, ensconced themselves in the Simon Snow series when they were just kids. It's what got them through their mother leaving. Reading, rereading, hanging out in Simon Snow forums, writing Simon Snow fan fiction, dressing up like the characters from movie premiere.
Sounds like Harry Potter.
Shush. Kath's sister has mostly grown away from the fandom, but Kath can't let go. She doesn't want to. Now that they're going to college, Ren has told Kath that she doesn't want to be roommates. Kath is on her own, completely outside of her comfort zone. She's got a surly roommate with a charming, always-around boyfriend, a fiction-writing professor who
romance.
Thinks fan fiction is the end of the civilized world.
Not quite.
A handsome classmate who only wants to talk about words. Dot, dot, dot. And she can't stop worrying about her dad, who's loving and fragile and has never really been alone. For Kath, the question is, can she do this? Can she make it without Ren holding her hand? Is she ready to start living her own life? And does she even want to move on if it means leaving Simon Snow behind?
All right, just as a quick little thing right here. I'm Ren.
Pirate
is Kath.
Apparently.
And
it really is.
It really is a story. It's
even though
it's,
we're not actually twins.
It's Pirate's future over here.
It really is. It's disturbing.
Except I don't have a scar on my chin. My brother does. It's in right there in the first couple of pages. That's why they're not identical twins. They've got a scar.
Well, they're definitely not identical because one is a scar. It's definitely there at birth.
Absolutely. No. It was a sledding incident when they were 9.
I see. Well, yeah. I read it. It was fantastic. I read it in about one night because I wouldn't put it down. This is my life in novel format in a couple years because it's kind of creepy because I'm going to be that awkward, antisocial college freshman who sits in the corner typing on a computer, writing fan fictions all day and doesn't care about anything else.
I haven't read very many fan fictions, so I might have to check that out.
Oh, gosh. That's like all I do.
How
just,
do you live?
I guess you could call me a purist so far because I'm just sticking to the books at this point. So we'll have to see. Maybe I'll go look up some
fan
fiction
for
some
of my favorites. I read the book and then I go look up the fan fictions. And for all of you with dirty minds, no, I'm not talking about the dirty fan fictions. I'm talking about the good ones that make you cry and make you laugh and make you want to die.
I'm unfortunately not able to do that because I don't read in really big, awesome fandoms like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. I don't do much reading there. I am a proud
fandoms,
member of the Wizard 101 fandom. 200 or 300-ish fanfictions. One
Already?
Of the smallest
wow, that's,
ones
that's
in
impressive.
The fandom. There's over a million people on the game, thank you very
when
much.
When I looked up Divergent first, there was a total of 3 stories in the fandom.
And now there's like 80,000
stories. Oh, I haven't even checked. I mean, like, everybody else on there right now, I feel like, is all going to be talking about the movie, and I'm like...
Blah, blah, blah. No one cares about the movie.
But
book's more important. You know.
But yeah, I'm
Percy Jackson.
Yes, Percy Jackson is a good example.
God, don't get me started.
No, that's from Mythical March. So
okay, and then Draco and Snape are being paired on the cover. And
no,
I just
they're
have
not.
To giggle over that.
They're not. That's Baz and Simon.
Kev definitely ships
because apparently
Draco and Snape.
Because apparently Basil is actually not pronounced Basil. According to the British people, we pronounce it incorrectly. It's actually pronounced
Basil.
Basil or Basil.
Whatever.
Basil.
You have to say with the English accent there, so
Basil.
Basil.
Let's just stick with Basil.
Can we just not have Zio pronounce? All right, so we've got the next book.
Hang on, there's one we skipped.
Which one did we skip?
Did we skip?
Eleanor and Park, because we don't actually have the copy of the book with us.
So we forgot about it.
All right, so talk about that, because I haven't read it.
All right, so...
There's a cover. There's a picture on the cover, because I remember what the cover looks like. It's a boy with black hair and a girl with curly red hair, and they're both wearing headphones. Yes, she's a ginger.
So hard.
Yeah. So guess what it's about, Morgan? Zio. Whatever your name is.
It's definitely not Morgan. It's definitely Zio.
What's your middle name?
It's my name is Zio Morgan. But Whatever. So, I'm going to guess it's about this girl who stole a guy's soul.
Uh-huh.
Through headphones.
What do you think it's about?
Just like Dr. Green. Maybe,
two kids coming together through their love of music. If they're wearing headphones, they're probably...
It takes place in the 1980s. It's about this girl named Eleanor and this guy named Park.
I would never guess.
And it's basically... It involves, like, the whole love at first sight, true love, star-crossed lovers type things. Like, they're...
Hunger Games?
No, not Hunger Games. They're not getting killed here. But they're...
They know that
first love in high school never lasts, but they're brave enough to try is part of the summary that I remember, because I thought it was a really cool line. But yeah,
brave enough to try. Gryffindor?
Like, Fangirl is my life, but Eleanor and Park, I think I actually liked better just because... It was, I can't even describe it. It was so good.
She's hugging herself, by the way.
I am hugging myself. I'm pretending I'm hugging the book because it was fabulous.
Much emotionals. Such.
That sounds like a good book. I might have to check that out.
You definitely need to read it. You will not put it down. You will just sit there and read it.
Do I cry at the end?
Mm-hmm. And just for the record, there's a mention of Nirvana, I believe, meaning it's fabulous.
Oh my gosh.
Nirvana's fabulous. Don't make fun of Nirvana.
Smells like Teen Spirit. Isn't there like a...
fabulous song.
No, isn't fabulous there a, what's the word I'm looking for here? Armpit thing,
What?
That's the armpit stuff, the,
Deodorant?
Yes, deodorant!
It
was a deodorant called Teen Spirit. And that is all
no.
I can think about while you're talking about
it. Alright, moving on from deodorant.
They are the parents of alternative rock music, thank you very much.
Okay, we're gonna talk about books
now,
not deodorant music.
Nice. We're done. We're
moving
gonna
on.
Bring that up. All right, moving on. This next book is called The Dream Thieves by Maggie. I cannot pronounce this.
Steve Adler.
Silence would have loved this because she's a super Raven Boys fan.
She's a huge fan. This is the second book of the Raven Cycle series.
Wait, let me see if there's a spoiler. I don't remember if there's a spoiler.
The summary is, in this riveting sequel to The Raven Boys, Gansey continues his search for the mystical grave of a Welsh king. Ronan hones his ability to take things from his dreams, and Adam falls apart while Blue tries not to fall in love. A gray man with a dark mission adds to the suspense.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't really know how to, like, talk about this without spoiling the first one, but the first one's really interesting. I'll tell you about Blue, at least, because she's a cool character. She's the daughter of a psychic, and that whole family is psychic, like, seriously psychic.
Psychic or psychotic?
Psychic. Like, they can see the future, and they see dead people and talk to them. Yes, they see dead people. Okay, but Blue is the only one in the family who isn't psychic, so she kind of feels left out.
She's a squib.
A squib. So... Blue, right. Ever since she was little, she's been told that if she kisses her true love, he will die.
Fun. So, yeah.
Oh, that's a good prophecy for one to have.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It's fabby.
All right, speaking of prophecies, I'm going to profess that we have to end in the next 5 seconds. Ready? Okay, we're done. So, we have to end, and thank you for listening again. Hopefully Silence will be with us for the next time, and Meg will be here. And we would just like to thank you all for listening. Come visit our website at careadingsociety.webs.com. The email is careadingsociety@gmail.com. And, at Google. And so thanks for listening, and we'll listen to you guys next time.